And we're live. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, YouTube. Good morning, Facebook. And good morning, Twitch. Yes, we are now on Twitch. Decided to expand just a little bit. We will be uploading to Podbean and everything if that's how you prefer to listen. But we're up live on these with video, so...
Those are your options.
Yep. If you want to watch us on video, check those out. Or join us on video, I guess, next Sunday. Because Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, we go live. So,
come
say hey. Yep. Tekla's in the background. That's one of our other dogs.
That's our big girl.
Yep. I can't even think of who all they've met. Ollie, obviously.
Stolly.
Okay. So, I'm going to pull the chat over here in case anybody stops in to say hey. I can see it. All right. So, today, the big question, does God change his mind? And for that, we refer to progressive revelation. We'll get into it after we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we are excited. We want to spread your word. Just be in our midst as we just get your word out there. We thank you for watching over us, for providing for everything, and this ability to even go live and talk about your word. We thank you, and we praise you in all things. Amen.
Put the hat back on.
It's on. All right. So before we get into it, let's talk about what's going on with us? What is going on with us? Tekla, what's going on with us? What happened this week? Anything? Oh, we took last week off. We took last Sunday off. Tek, you can't be under my desk, sweetheart. You can be next to me, but you can't be under my desk. We took last weekend off. Because we finished up Galatians the weekend before, and I really just wasn't feeling any, not pressure, but I didn't have anything hitting me. Like, hey, we need to, I want to drive this home this week. So we kind of just relaxed last weekend.
Slept in, which we don't get to do.
Yeah, it took some much needed time off. Time for ourselves, because we don't ever do that. What else?
We've had a crazy puppy this morning.
Oh my gosh.
That would not stop for anything.
Yeah.
He's been a pistol today.
What is going on? I don't know. Anyway. Oh, you just hit your head on the desk. What are you doing? Starting to pack stuff up for the move.
Played some Ninja Turtles last night.
Yeah, we got on.
With one of my gym members. That was fun.
Yep, good times. Well, this is Dragon, so we're just going to jump into it. All right, so progressive revelation. What is it? Progressive revelation means that God did not unfold his entire plan to humanity in the book of Genesis, or for that matter, the entire Old Testament. The Old Testament revelation, though accurate, is incomplete. The fullness of certain teachings cannot be found in the Old Testament. So, what this is saying is that You didn't put your phone on.
I didn't.
Silent.
Oh, it was a Trump text. Super important.
So, what this is saying is God didn't reveal everything right now. Like, everything wasn't revealed in Genesis. He revealed different things to us throughout the Bible. And it wasn't just the Old Testament. The New Testament had something revealed as well, which was the mystery gospel, which Paul brought to us, which we've talked about. And we will, of course, talk about a lot more. So, for now, what are some examples of progressive revelation in the Bible? So, the big one that you're going to see used as an example is what we're given as meat. So, Genesis 1, 29, and 30, and this is always in the KJV, says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so." So, what is this saying? It's saying that God gave Adam, because this was before Eve, I believe. Yeah. God's telling Adam, hey, here's all the fruit, all the herbs, all the seeds, anything except meat that is yours to eat, as well as the animals. So, that's it. You don't eat meat. You're a vegetarian. And obviously, we find out later that they're not supposed to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as well.
So, his instructions for this time period were to not eat meat, but they could eat any herb-bearing seed, what you just listed. Everything but meat.
Yep.
Those were his instructions for that time. It's important to correlate.
Yep. Very important. All right. Now we're going to turn to Genesis 9, verse 1 through 4, and see what he tells Noah and his family after they exit the ark. "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you, and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat."
So, instructions have changed.
A lot.
So, God changed his mind and said, this is now what I'm instructing you to do.
Yep. So, God's giving people permission to eat of all animals and beasts of the earth. All. Not just certain ones, but all animals. All the fowl of the air, and all that moves on the earth, and fish of the sea as meat, as well as the green herb and fruits that were previously given. This is showing that God told man to be vegetarian in the beginning, and now has expanded that to being omnivores. Basically, man can eat whatever he wants.
Except for humans.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Or, yeah.
It lays that out.
Thanks.
Just letting you know.
Don't eat other people. You can't be cannibals. All right. So
yeah, go ahead.
Now get with me in Leviticus 11, 1 through 9. and 13.
This is such a cool book. It just is. It's a cool book.
Okay.
Just because it's so out there and, it's cool.
All right, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them. Remember, this is quite a time difference between Noah and Moses. He said in verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts that ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof. The camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. Verse 13. And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls, they shall not be eaten, they are an abomination, the eagle, and the ossifrage, and the osprey. I'm going to stop there because it goes deep into what you can eat and what you can't eat. It lists specifics of animals, as we saw already, with where it talks about the eagle, the ossifrage, the osprey, the camel, the swine. So if you want to dive more into that, feel free. It's Leviticus. And actually, while we were doing this study, we looked up some of these animals, and it's just... sorry. So, it's really neat to see the Bible list animals, and then you can look them up, and they're still around. I mean, the Bible is so old, and it's mind-blowing that there were these animals all this time ago, and they're still around. Mm-hmm. It's just...
pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you can see it when it says camel and eagle and stuff, but just some of the other animals that it lists.
Coney, we looked up.
Yeah. Fish birds that are not eaten. All right, so basically, it just lists out the fish and birds and animals that you can't eat. So another change. So God...
instructions.
Yeah.
Very detailed instructions.
Yes, very detailed.
What you are and are not to do.
So the big takeaway so far is it's different things revealed in different times. Mm-hmm. So you can't take what God told Noah to do and apply it to yourself. You can't just go and pick and choose what scriptures apply
exactly
to you.
And it doesn't mean that God changes. It just means he changes his mind. God is still the same.
Yep, he will forever be the same.
He's never going to change who he is, but he will change his plan. There are things to come that will change big time.
Yeah.
And if you... are a Christian, I'm sure you've heard of the rapture, and I'm sure you are aware that things are not going to be the same after the rapture. I mean,
the rapture's going to be a big change for
people. Big, huge.
People don't even understand what that change is going to be.
So, things change because God changes his mind, but God does not change. He stays the same.
Yep.
So we've already seen in very early books of the Bible that God does change his mind. Progressive revelation. This is important because this is so missed whenever we get to New Testament stuff. People don't understand that there is a big, big, big change that happens between the Old Testament and New Testament. So you have to take these points that are a little bit easier to understand, like God specifically says, you can eat this and this, but not this. And then later he says, well, now you can eat this, but still not this. Progressive revelation isn't just for what God tells you that you can and can't eat.
Right.
He gives you specific instructions, but you can't ignore that there are different aspects that come into play.
Right. Yep. Very, very important changes that God makes throughout the Bible. All right, so what does God say now about what we can eat? Let's go to 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5.
So New Testament.
And this
lots of time has passed.
This is in the writings of Paul.
Pauline epistles.
Yep. Which is what applies to us today. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received which with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. All creatures made by God are good and shouldn't be refused if it's received with thanksgiving and prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So, we're free to eat what we want, as long as we do it with thanksgiving and prayer. It's pretty plain and simple.
Yep. And it's easy to pinpoint that and be like, okay, well, God gave us this very clear instruction, so it's easy to read that and say, okay, that's pretty clear. But it's harder to understand that God's talking to Israel versus Gentiles, even though it says it in pretty much the beginning of every chapter.
Yeah.
It's addressing Israel and Gentiles. It's just harder for people to get that. I don't know why. I didn't catch it.
Yeah, I didn't.
I sure didn't.
It's because we're indoctrinated by the church.
We're taught by people that teach it.
And the people that teach it are indoctrinated by seminaries.
Mm-hmm.
Which.
Doctrines of devils.
Yeah.
Sorry to say.
And if.
This is why it's important to do your own research.
If you haven't watched any of our stuff prior to this, I grew up in church. My father was a preacher, his father was a preacher. And. What they teach is not entirely correct, which is why I'm trying to get the true word out. We are trying to get the true word out, because it's so blatantly obvious once you see it.
It is so, and it's so incredibly intricate, and the design of the Bible is just fabulous. Like,
it's so easy to read once you know
beautiful.
It.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, everything just comes together. It's just a fully, it's a masterpiece. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. So it's easy for Christians to say, I mean, there's a lot of different churches out there. A lot of different things are taught. This denomination teaches this and believes in this, and the other one believes in that and teaches that. And it's easy for a lot of denominations to pick up on little tiny pieces of grace here and there and be like, oh, well, we don't believe that you have to be water baptized to be saved, but we do it still because it's an outward showing of inward faith, blah, blah, blah. Well, where in the Bible does it tell us that we have to do that? See, they're picking up some things, like it. Now we do not have to water baptize to be saved. They're picking that up. Old Testament, yeah, I'm talking about specific churches. So in the Old Testament, it does say you have to be water baptized to be saved. But then in the newer Testament, the new books of the Testament, they pick up that you don't have to be water baptized. So they can kind of pick and choose.
Yeah.
But then they don't put the whole thing together.
Yeah.
And
no works means
like,
no works.
It's not clicking with Israel and Gentiles. So that's what this whole progressive revelation is trying to, trying to bring to you. You can't do that with just certain things. You have to do that with the entire Bible.
There is a purpose behind what we're talking about. Good?
Yeah. Don't do that smile again. No, it's bad.
All right. Now let's look at a different example. Get with us in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 5 through 15. And when thou prayest, we're talking about prayer now, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Oof. My mouth isn't working today. All right, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father. So this is the, quote, Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So this is Jesus talking in this passage. And everybody just goes nuts with when Jesus is talking in the Bible, and it's the most important. Well, the whole Bible is written by God.
Well, they think it's directly to them specifically. If Jesus says something, whoa, that's mine.
That's for everybody.
That's mine, and that's all that matters.
But Jesus wasn't sent for us. I mean, he was, but not his earthly ministry. When he was on earth, he wasn't
Jesus was
here
sent
for
to address
us.
Israel.
Yeah, he was here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Of course, the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection was for all of us. But his earthly ministry, when he was on earth, he was just speaking to Israel.
Mm-hmm. Turned away Gentiles. We have podcasts.
So this prayer doesn't apply to us, one. Two, here we see Jesus telling people that they should pray in a closet, not in the middle of the synagogues or in the corners of the street, so that they may be seen of men. So don't make a show of it. Don't be out there telling everybody, hey, look at me pray. I'm praying. Pay attention to me. That's not what you're to do. He also tells them not to make it repetition. This is what the Lord's Prayer has turned into. When churches decide, hey, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer,
Sunday.
We say it every Sunday. It's something we should say all the time. Well, that's not what Jesus said. At the end of the passage, Jesus tells the people that if they do not forgive, that the Father won't forgive either. But if they forgive, then the Father will. This obviously isn't true today, mm-hmm. because we're automatically forgiven at the cross.
Because we're not under the law. We don't.
Yeah.
Those don't apply to us.
We just have to claim that. We just have to claim that forgiveness and accept the free everlasting gift. So don't grab things out of the Bible that don't apply to us and apply it to yourself, because it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, again, just because Jesus said something doesn't mean that you can take that and apply it directly to you.
Now listen now listen here to what Paul says about prayer in 1 Timothy 2:7-8. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Pray everywhere. Don't doubt. Pray. That's pretty blatantly obvious. You can pray anywhere, as loud as you want, as quiet as you want. Lift up your hands. Don't lift up your hands. Just pray.
Again, we see him reiterate a teacher of the Gentiles. So that's specific instructions for us. And Jesus himself said, I was not sent into the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is giving instruction for Israel, and God, through Paul, is giving instructions for Gentiles. I think you may hear whenever we're talking, well, Paul gives us this instruction. It's not Paul giving us the instruction. He's
the
connection
speaker
between God and us.
Yeah.
He's the one that was chosen by God to receive the message, had a huge responsibility, and he had to make sure that we knew without a doubt that he was sent to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a very good job of that, only because God tells him what to say.
Yep.
So when we say Paul, you should really be hearing God is giving you this instruction. We shouldn't look at the man, the messenger, because God is the one that said, I'm choosing to speak through Paul. So you can interchange Paul and God because it's the same thing, because God is giving the instruction to Paul.
Well, let's not. We won't go there. You can't interchange Paul and God.
Well, I'm saying, like, in your head, you can say, Paul said, but it's really God that said.
God is speaking through Paul.
Not saying that. I'm not saying that Paul should be replaced with God. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, in your head, whenever you hear
Paul said this, it's God speaking through Paul.
Yes.
I got you. All right. So I'm going to finish up what I've got written here, and then I want to dive into a text conversation that I had with somebody, just as an example of the different minute beliefs that are huge.
Picking and choosing.
Yeah. So I saved this little nugget for you at the end of this, so you can stop wondering what God has put you on the earth for. What has God put me on the earth for? So look at 1 Timothy 2:1-6. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God put us on the earth in order to have all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. This is our purpose from God. This is why we are here. We need to get the word out to all men, spread his word to the nations. So, 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, is what we're put on the earth for. Who will have all men be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God's plan for us is to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's what he wants from us. That's what he desires from us. Now you can stop praying and asking God, what did you put me on earth for? To come to the knowledge of truth.
That's why it's so important, and why we feel such a heavy calling, I guess, to bring this to people, because it's just not taught.
It's so important.
99% of churches.
Yeah.
It's just so hugely missed. And once you see this, you have a responsibility to spread that word. And going back, I just want to say, because I know when I said interchanging, I meant whenever it says Paul, you can insert God into that. Not saying that you should interchange them back and forth, like Paul is the same as God. I'm just saying when you see the word I, Paul, an apostle of, you can read that as God is saying. Okay, continue your text.
All right, so now I'm going to go through this text chain that I had with somebody. Not going to say who, because it's not anybody's business. But it's just, it's kind of a way to see the, like I said, the small differences that make a huge difference. And if you're wondering how to talk to somebody, this may help, it may not, because everybody's different. Everybody thinks differently.
Everybody has different beliefs.
Yeah. So
it's not going to be the same conversation.
Right.
But I will say the one thing that you have to remember when you are talking to somebody, you can't give your own words. You have to insert scripture to back up everything that you're saying, because if you don't insert scripture, then you're just giving your, quote, opinion. You have to line out what God says. So that's where whenever God says to be equipped with his sword, his scripture, that's what this means. He wants you to give his word whenever you're trying to explain something to someone.
All right. Where was it at? It was in it was in Titus, I believe. Oh, yeah. Titus 3:10. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. So you try to talk to somebody about the gospel.
Mm-hmm. That's a good
two times
scripture.
And if they continue to reject it and refuse to listen, unfortunately, you move on.
You can't keep going forever. There are other people out there that might listen. And your goal is to get this word out to as many as possible.
So I should have read verse 11 as well. So Titus 3:10 and 11. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. They're doing it to themselves.
They're choosing it.
There's no guilt on you.
You've
given the attempts that you're instructed to give. If not, I'm saying this, but if they start to listen just a little bit,
that's an open
then
door.
Keep going. But if they just blatantly, nope,
that's on them.
That's
and that's something I've struggled with, is talking to somebody and I'll be like, oh man, if I only said this, then they would have listened. If I only would have not said this, but said this instead. You're giving them what you can. The Holy Spirit helps you. He does. And as long as you're giving some of this information, they have to start thinking about that. So it's not what you said or didn't say. If you're giving some information, it's their responsibility to go look this up.
Yeah.
So if you're giving nuggets, they've got to say, oh, well, that kind of sounds super important. I should maybe do something with that. So don't beat yourself up. I've done that before. If I only would have said this, that's on them.
Yeah, they clearly didn't want to listen. Yep. So, all right, so this is actually the second time that I've attempted to talk to this person legitimately. And I told this person, I sent them a video, and I said, please listen to this all the way through. Open your heart and mind and listen earnestly. Set aside your pride and humble yourself, because we're talking about eternity.
Most important thing on this earth.
And the video was a video of David Reed speaking, and it's called This Morning or Sunday Morning Study, Things the Devil Hides, by Columbus Bible Church. So if you go on YouTube, video. Columbus Bible Church, it's a great video. And then I followed that up and I said, Whitney and I aren't going to say anything else about this. It's on you now to seriously listen and do your own studying and not utilize books or internet, because this person likes to use Christian
sources,
books
that are not
and
the Bible.
Websites. You have to learn from the Bible. Otherwise, you're picking up...
The Bible is your source.
People's opinions.
Yes, exactly. Persuade yourself in your own mind.
Which brings me to a disclaimer. Listen to what we say.
And go research.
But go look it up. If we're wrong about something, please message us. Email us. So then I said, 2 Timothy 2:15... it's to show yourself approved. God doesn't care what somebody else told you to believe. He only cares what his word says. So what I'm getting at there is, you can't take a cheat sheet to heaven. You can't take what somebody else told you and say, well, they told me this. What's God going to do? You say, sorry, you should have done your own research. You should have studied to show yourself approved and rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. That's such an important verse. So then this person says, how do you propose we become Christians? We believe that it's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We both listened to the link and didn't hear anything pertaining to salvation other than grace through faith. Are we missing something? So I said, are you only saved after you say the sinner's prayer? Do you have to ask for forgiveness to be saved? Do you have to be baptized? Do you have to do anything at all? And then this person responded with Ephesians 2:8-9. For grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. We are destined for hell because our sin has condemned us. We were all born sinners, so we couldn't help but being sinful. Jesus came to save us from that destination. We must believe and accept the fact that he did that. When we recognize what we did for what he did for us, we are humbled to the point that we realize our own sin and automatically repent. There's no specific sinner's prayer, but it's sometimes helpful to most of us to have a direction as to how to pray. It's okay if we are at a loss for words to have someone help us know how to pray. To reiterate, there's no specific sinner's prayer. For some of us, there's not any emotional show of what's going on in our hearts. Some people simply recognize their need for Jesus and perhaps speak quietly or share their thoughts with God as to their recognition of and belief in Jesus as Savior. Of course, we don't have to be baptized for salvation. That was our entire issue. Well, but as believers, it's important to be baptized for the sake of showing others, as well as ourselves, the commitment we've made to Jesus Christ. It's kind of like a wedding ceremony. The couple can commit themselves to each other privately, but it's important to have a ceremony so that others can celebrate with them. that's similar with baptism, a celebration of a commitment to Jesus and being a part of God's family due to one's faith and belief in Jesus.
But that's a
break it down.
That's a tradition of man. God doesn't give two craps about that.
What?
About having a celebration.
Of what?
That's a
the
showing.
Wedding ceremony?
That's a showing. It's being vain. You should not be vain. You should not say, hey, look at me. This is what I did for you. That is total vanity. And I've been baptized 2 times before I came to the knowledge of the truth.
Yep.
Baptism is a huge showing for tradition of men to say, hey, look at me.
Yep.
It's not a celebration of anything except for, look what I did. I did this. You're taking away from the glory of Jesus who died on the cross for you.
Yeah.
That got heated. I have not felt that much of a... Whew. Sorry, that just hit me like, that's total vanity. The way that this person responded and said, you are supposed to have a celebration. No, you're not.
There's nothing
God
in the Bible
says celebrate. God did
everything
for you by sending his son Jesus to die for you. How are we... Who are we to even say, I'm going to go celebrate because I did this when God didn't tell me to do it? Okay, I'm stepping down. That was
So no place in the Bible does it say to do anything as an outward showing of faith. This person did say repenting, and I don't know if this person truly knows the definition of repenting.
Most
repenting
people do
it
not.
Just means to turn away from or change your mind. It doesn't mean to ask for forgiveness. There is no asking for forgiveness. We were forgiven at the cross. There is no prayer.
If you think you have to ask for forgiveness, you need to reevaluate your salvation.
There is no prayer. That is a work. If you think you have to say a prayer to be saved, then you don't understand grace. Grace is freely given. It's not something you can do anything for. If you think that you can do something to get rid of all the sin that you've done and all the sin that you're going to do,
vanity,
then you hold yourself as high as God.
Yep, that's so true.
I'll continue. I said, so you believe that you have to pray to be saved. That I guess would be more my question, because I was taught growing up by this person that you had to pray and ask for forgiveness in order to be saved. That would be a work, would it not? That meant that you don't believe you're saved by grace, but by works, which is not correct. Attaching anything at all to saved by grace through faith nullifies the grace and makes it a work. That's what I'm mostly concerned about with you guys and everybody else. There's nothing in our gospel that says anything about praying or asking for forgiveness for our sins in order to be saved. As for the baptism, there isn't anything in our gospel that says to be baptized and show everybody that you believe. Baptism is brought in from Israel. You had to be baptized in the early New Testament and the Old Testament to be cleansed. But that was before we were baptized by the Holy Spirit, which is not of water, but of the blood of Christ. It was also used to bring 30-plus age into priesthood. Jesus was baptized for this reason. Not because he sinned and needed cleansed, but because he was going to be sharing the gospel. I said, I'm happy that you're bringing scripture from our gospel in Ephesians. I appreciate that you are doing your own research now and not looking at websites or in books or anything like that. We only get one chance. We don't get to take what other people told us and pin it on them if we don't know the correct
exactly.
answer when God asks. We can't take in a cheat sheet with us when we die. Thank you for taking this seriously. It doesn't matter who you offend with this, because it's salvation forever. Heaven or hell, it's up to us and us only to study and know.
Mm-hmm. So before I forget, I keep running this through my head while you're... Okay, so this person is contradicting themselves because this person brought in Ephesians, what was it, 2:8-9?
I think so.
Saying that there's no works required, it's faith alone, yet thinks that we have to say a prayer, which is a work. You cannot say, I believe this, but then you also have to do this.
Right.
If you think that salvation is a free gift, but I have to do this, you do not put your full trust in the finished God. Jesus, when he was on the cross, said, it is finished. Period. That leaves no interpretation to say, I have to do anything. It is finished. That means it's finished. That means it's done. You have zero work in that. And if you're trying to say, I'm saved because I believe in faith and grace alone, but I have to do this one little thing, and then it's finished. No, it's already finished. You can't contradict yourself by saying, you can't quote those scriptures and say, and, or but, I. Right. No, it doesn't work that way.
That's right. He's so smart.
Sorry. Feeling heated. I feel a fire in my belly.
So then this person says, salvation is a change in our hearts. We communicate with God by verbalizing and by thinking. Prayer is not works. It's simply a matter of communication. And as I said before, with the reality of our sinful state and what Jesus has done, we can't help but be humbled and ask forgiveness for our sins and for the fact that he had to sacrifice himself because of our sins.
Asking for forgiveness.
I said, I have no problem with prayer, but if you think you have to pray to become saved, wouldn't that be a work to become saved? I know it should change our hearts. I'm asking what exactly you have to do to become saved. And then this person responded, I believe Romans 10:9 and 10 gives us that answer, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with your heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So in these verses, it tells that we must believe and confess. And Whitney,
yes?
I know this is in Romans, and our gospel is Romans through Philemon.
It is.
But what does the first verse of that chapter address?
Israel.
You can't pick and choose.
You have to look at context. Context is important.
So this is Paul addressing Israel and their beliefs and what they're required to do because of what they've been doing in the past.
Romans is a confusing book because it does go back and forth. Paul does address points that are in Israel and for the Gentiles. It is a confusing book. But you have to have context. You cannot say that Romans is all for Gentiles because it's Paul explaining things about Israel and about Gentiles. So there are two separate things combined into one book within the chapters, and you have to look at the context of who it is talking about. In Romans 10, it specifically says Israel at the very beginning of the chapter.
The whole Chapter 9 is him talking to and about Israel.
You have to read before, after, sometimes the whole book to get...
Yeah.
You can't just
you don't get
look at one sentence.
Verses.
Yeah, you can't just look at one sentence.
Kind of like my example earlier, when God was telling Noah to build an ark.
Yes.
Oh, if I just pick this part where it says, go build an ark, because the earth is going to flood. Well, apparently the earth is going to flood, even though it says it's not going to later. But I choose to believe that verse is for me. So I'm going to go ahead and build an ark.
Mm-hmm. Or you can't just say, like, in Leviticus there are scriptures saying that you have to sacrifice, animal sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that Jesus died for me, but the Bible tells me that I have to still sacrifice. Well, no, it doesn't. So you think that you're saved, but I'm still going to go ahead and do the sacrifice. That's the same thing as baptism. You don't believe you have to be baptized, but I'm going to do it because it's a showing. Well, sacrifice could be a showing. Why don't you go kill a goat?
I don't want to.
That would be super sad.
All right, so then this person responded that the book of Romans was written to all believers. As you read through the book, you can tell that Paul was referring to different things regarding the Jewish believers as well as the Gentile believers. In the first verse of chapter 10, Paul simply stated that he had prayed that God would save Israel. He described the Jews who refused to believe that Jesus was Messiah, and then he used that premise to explain that because of their lack of belief, it was kind of like a benefit for the Gentiles. See chapter 11, verse 11 through 13. We're not even talking about chapter 11. We're in chapter 10. This person brings up chapter 10 and then jumps to chapter 11 saying, well, chapter 10 applies to all because chapter 11 is talking about Gentiles. That's so far from true.
The beginning says Israel.
Chapter 10 is talking to Israel. I haven't looked into chapter 11 because, we weren't talking about chapter 11.
Well, there's a separate... The chapters are chapters for a reason. So,
well, yeah,
yes,
but,
it can continue on,
yeah.
But there's also a there's...
He may change what he's talking about and start talking about the Gentiles.
Well, he does. In Romans, it does go back and forth,
right.
Like I said, between Gentile and Israel.
Right. But you can't say, because he talks about the Gentiles in chapter 11, that this is, in chapter 10, this is talking about the Gentiles.
When it says Israel at the beginning of the chapter.
So then, They said it helps. It also helps to understand the history of what was going on during that time, as if I don't know what's going on. The Christians, Jewish and Gentile, that's not what's being talked about in this chapter or in this book, were being persecuted under Nero, and yet more and more people were believing. Because of that, the believers met in several places. I assume, I don't know for sure, that when Paul wrote the letter to the Romans, it was secretly because of the persecution going on, passed around to all different believers. You can't assume things. Read the Bible. But if it specifies Israel in the first verse of that chapter and then doesn't talk about the Gentiles before you get to the verse we're talking about, then it's still talking to Israel. So my response, chapter 10 is Paul speaking of Israel, which is why he references what Israel is doing. The verse you reference, Romans 10, 9 and 10, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, is about Israel. He is telling them to confess with their mouth because they have been denying that Jesus was the Messiah. It has nothing to do with the Gentiles. This passage is directly to and for and about Israel. Yes, Romans is to all. However, if there is a section that is specific to one group, then it is specific to that one group. Not all Romans is to everybody, otherwise it wouldn't specify.
Let me just read the first Romans 10, 1 through 3, because...
Okay, well, I get to that.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Go ahead.
So then this person says, I don't agree that the passage is only for Gentiles. I'm assuming that this person meant Israel. That's not what I'm getting. When I read it, where do you get your information about that?
The Bible.
So go ahead and read 1 through 3.
Okay.
And then I'll explain it.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Read through 8.
This is a progressive revelation talking about the law and thinking that you now can, because Paul just brought this gospel in, it's new. So they're still thinking that they're under the law, and Paul's telling them, no, you're not. God's done everything for you. Okay, Romans 4, or 10 through 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Says it right there. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say, not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach.
So this person asked me where I get my information. I responded with the Bible, where it says that it's to Israel. Verse 1 in chapter 10 says, my heart's desire and prayer prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge. They being Israel, because the last verse is talking about Israel, so he's still talking about Israel. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they being Israel.
It doesn't mention Gentiles anywhere in there. It says Israel.
Verse 4, law, Israel. Verse 5, Moses, law,
Israel.
So it's very clearly talking about Israel. There is no Gentile in any of these verses. There's no grace.
It does start to mention Gentile a few verses down.
It does.
But that's because Paul's explaining that they didn't listen to what the gospel is saying. He's explaining this was the law. This is now what's going on. So you have to pay attention to how it's written, where it's written. Everything in the Bible is designed for us to understand it.
Yep.
And if you're not getting context to the Bible and saying, oh, well, this is Israel, I'm not Israel. You have to read it as it is.
Choosing. It's what we've been talking about since our first podcast video, picking and choosing. You can't pick and choose.
It's not about you. It's about what God is telling you. And it's up to you to say, oh, okay, well, I'm not Israel.
Everything is written specifically to people.
Yep.
Specific people.
Yep.
So then I followed it up. Is Paul speaking of what he prays for Israel? He's not speaking of the Gentiles. I said, read chapter 9 because it leads you into 10 and is talking about Israel and where they stand with the law.
It's just a blend of everything coming together in Romans. Acts and Romans is a blend of everything coming together. So there is some confusing stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to have context before and after. You have to look at what they means. Well, when they say they, go back and look to what they is meaning.
Yeah. So the response was, he's talking about the Jews who have not believed. The letter of Romans is to all the believers in Rome. No, it's not. It's specific to who he's talking about. If he says Israel, he's talking to Israel. If he's talking to Gentiles, he's talking to Gentiles. You have to know who he's talking to. Read. Don't just pick a verse and say, this applies to me. You have to see who is being talked to. Otherwise, you're wrong, and you're blaspheming the Bible.
It is a very serious thing.
And then the response, this person said directly after that, So back to your original question, what do you tell people who ask how to become a Christian? So the first part I responded with, right, he's referring to Israel and what they need to do. And then I responded to the following question, what we need to do to become saved. I said, in order to be saved, we have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, saved by faith through grace. That's the only way. If they require any work at all to that, i.e. prayer, baptism, public confession of faith, then they don't understand grace. God's grace is a free gift to all men, and all sins were forgiven at the cross. Any work is you not accepting grace, but putting your salvation on your own shoulders and saying that grace isn't good enough and that you could actually do something under your own power to get yourself into heaven. Only by faith, which is what the Bible tells us. Ephesians 2:14-13. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmen. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him, in them. Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
How can you read that verse and not realize it literally says Gentiles are aliens?
Yep.
Literally says that. How do you read that verse and say, well, the whole Bible is still to me? No, it's not.
Right.
It just said Israel, Gentiles are aliens. I don't know what to say. I really don't. I mean, it's so clear.
And it tells you, don't do works.
Yeah.
There is no
Did
work.
Did you read Romans 11:6? I was trying to look up this verse. Okay, let me read it. Yeah, I think you did.
No, I didn't.
Okay. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. It's
pretty,
telling you what grace is and what it's not. If you add any works to grace, it ceases to be grace.
Right. Yep.
If you add any work to the cross, you're nullifying what the cross did for you.
Wave to the audience. You didn't wave.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Tekla, no. All right. So then this person said, I agree. I said, you understand about the sinner's prayer and everything. You agree with what I said about that? And they said, a prayer isn't what saves a person. Salvation is an inward belief that Jesus is God who came to the earth and died for our sins, and then he was resurrected. I said, agreed.
But didn't this person up above say...
Well, people can have a change of heart.
Okay. Repent. Change your mind.
And then they said, anything that happens after our salvation is simply evidence of a changed life due to our saving faith. And I sent the clap emoji. Here's the deal. If you believe you have to do something for salvation, whether you believe in grace or not, whether you believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins, if you believe you have to pray, if you believe you have to be baptized, if you believe you have to do anything other than just believe in the faith or believe, have faith through grace. Have grace through faith. If you think you have to do anything other than just believe, you are not saved. So this person, if this person still thinks that it's okay to think you have to say the sinner's prayer to be saved, then this person isn't saved. If you think that, oh, well, they believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, they believe in, quote, grace, they just thought they had to say a prayer, they're still saved. No! If they thought they had to say a prayer, they don't know the meaning of grace, which means they don't believe in the finished work of God. They don't get it. And if you think that, then you don't get it. If you think that it's okay for them to think that and they're still saved, you don't get it. If you think you have to do an outward showing, but that's not required for salvation, then it is what it is.
You still don't get it, but
it's dumb.
It is. It's vain. It's vanity. And
it is.
And it's best.
But you're still saved because you believe you don't have to do anything to be saved other than have faith. And having faith isn't a work because it's something God told us to do. So, does anybody have any questions?
Just a final thought. When I was thinking about baptism and vanity and my baptisms and how it was just a celebration, the tradition of man means nothing to God. If you follow the traditions of men, are you following what God wants for you? Or is it kind of a slap in the face to God?
Right.
Because you're kind of idolizing a tradition over God. You're not to worship anything else. And if we feel like we have to have a celebration and make a big showing of and a big gathering of everybody watching you become baptized, that's taking away from the cross. You're idolizing traditions of man. And it's kind of sad. Like, we've been to churches where Matthew was starting to kind of see it, and they would have, like, start talking about baptism Sunday.
Oh, there was a church we went to that said you had to be baptized. God said you have to be baptized.
Well, he told Israel they had to be baptized.
In the Old Testament, and before Christ died.
He didn't tell Gentiles they had to be baptized. He said to Paul, he was not sent to baptize. Or he was sent not to baptize.
Right.
He specifically says, do not baptize. Do not. Period.
So
rest of Revelation.
I just looked for celebration or celebrate or show or showing.
Nada.
There's nothing. I mean, maybe in your NIV version or your NASB or your New King James, which isn't a King James. It's just them pretending to be. Because they still changed words.
Sneaky doctrine of devil.
Yep. So when this person said something about it's like celebrating a wedding, well, the Bible doesn't tell us to celebrate a wedding.
It doesn't.
So
it's a tradition of men.
Yeah. So
you're taking away from God.
You're just adding to.
This was a good podcast.
It was.
This was a great
enjoyable
podcast.
Very enjoyable. Hey, if you check this out, drop us a comment and say hey and tell us.
Yeah, we need a little bit of support.
Yeah, we're starting to struggle a little bit because we're not
we just want to make sure that people are actually listening. So if you do if you do listen to it, let us know so we can,
I mean, just like it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, this is us being human. We want a little bit of knowledge that it's getting out to people.
Yeah, we just want to know if anybody's even out there listening.
We are doing this for God, so don't get that twisted. But we as humans would kind of like to just know that people are listening.
That somebody hears it.
We selfishly, I want to hear that it touches somebody.
Yeah.
Because we put a lot of time in. We sunk some money into this.
It's kind of blind. We're just kind of going into it blind. Like, we don't know if anybody's listening.
Any
we have
suggestions?
No idea.
Any ideas on what you want us to talk about? Any of that? And if you are listening, thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
And we hope that you, if you have questions, you can reach out to us. I know we might sound like we're a little bit closed off, but this is something that we love to talk about with people because it is so important.
And now I'm going to get the final word in. Let's pray.
I love you. Oh, by the way, I'm very proud of you for how that text thread went down. You did a very good job.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Good job, babe. Okay, pray.
Final word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to spread your word and to do this with my wife. It's just so much fun. And we pray that we touch lives. We pray that just one person hears one of our podcasts or watches one of our videos and hears about you and it helps them to wake up and to see the truth, because if one person sees it, then they can share it with somebody else. And it we just pray that your word gets spread, your truth. So thank you for everything. Thank you for always watching out for us, watching over us. Thank you for the opportunities that we get. Thank you for free will, because if we didn't have free will, then we wouldn't know how great it is to find the good, to find you. We praise you. You are an amazing God, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
See y'all next Sunday.
God's will for all men to be saved.
Final word.